Political campaigns are thick. With the rest of us trying to figure out, you know, what the differences may be, I've got Damon Victor in the first hour. He's running for Leon County Commissioner District 3. And then we've got Kristen Dozier, who is running for mayor. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax, and it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widen started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widen because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widen Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widen wanted, and it's been the Widen way of doing business for over 75 years. Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widen Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or widenglass.com.
Together again, my friend, and it's always a pleasure to have you along because, you know, this is rather lonely. If you're not here listening in and being a part of the conversation, wherever you may be, and however you may be listening to us on Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, it's the only radio station providing all local music from local musicians, their original songs, all the time. You can find Moose online at moosemagnificat.com. So here we are on Moose at 9 o'clock every Saturday morning and Sunday afternoons at 3. And I repeat, broadcast on Wednesdays at 5:30. And of course, our longtime affiliate, 93.3 FM, the good people over there at Real Talk Tallahassee, Greg Tisch, Matty Rowe, John Jopling, and all the gang making that happen every day, 365. Well, it's our pleasure to be a part of your morning or your afternoon or evening. And then again, you may be a subscriber to our podcasted version of the show. Glad you're doing that because, you know, it's convenient. If none of those work for you, of course, you can always go to the website and listen at your leisure. We have all of our shows archived there for you. TallahasseeTalks.com is the place. And then if you go to, you can go to the search bar and if you're looking for something specific. Or you can just click on the archive link and it'll take you to the most recent. You kind of scroll through that way. All for your good, my friend. We are pleased to be able to say that we are now in our 11th season. So over the last 10 plus years, it's been our pleasure and really a remarkable journey as we have been party to conversations with some of the most contributive, some of the most interesting, some of the most controversial people, all of whom together have brought to us what Tallahassee is, what she has been, and what she aspires to be. I suspect that Tallahassee is, in many respects, a kind of teenager, better discovering now who she really is, and then deciding there are certain parts of her past that she just no longer agrees with or just doesn't embrace in some fashion, doesn't want to be a part of it. And part of that conversation, we'll say, or reflection, and analysis that's happening corporately, collectively, I should say. It's happening across all kinds of different lines of association and affiliation. I mean, in business, in politics, local governance, right, in social services, church communities, neighborhoods. Yeah. All of those different things that are, let's say, traditional by the manner in which we associate with one another. Various business groups, right? Educational programs and institutions, organizations. All of that consideration, all of that review, all of that analysis is going on. And it may not be that apparent. It may be that the changes are considerably slow, more deliberate, more ponderous. But one of the biggest changes, one of the most remarkable developments, I would think, in terms of a community-wide discussion, conversation, has to do with whether we can aspire to something other than what we have been. And that's why I say, as development goes, organizations, families, people, communities, even nations, they have a sort of lifespan, and there are stages of development. We've seen it happen locally. We're seeing it happen nationally. Things being questioned, brought into question, that have been part of our history. And with that, I'll say we have candidates who have seized upon that level of curiosity and deliberation. I mean, a candidate is no better than that person's ability to capture the sentiment of the day, right? I mean, why would you want to run for office in the first place if in your efforts you don't have some proposed better solution to the issues of the day? And those issues rest with us. What is it that we want? And so we'll hear from Damon Victor here shortly. He'll be with us for the entirety of this first hour of the show. He's a business guy, been in business a long time, local Tallahassee, I think native of Alaska, or grew up there. We'll find out more about his personal background. But his downbeat has been the neglect of underprivileged neighborhoods along that northwest corridor, going up North Monroe and on up to Lake Jackson, all of that, District 3 for the county. The incumbent, Rick Miner, has had that position and is running for re-election. So we'll get from Mr. Victor his take on why it is that he thinks we need his leadership, we need his representation. And again, I would argue that his campaign, or any of those campaigns that are afoot, are no better than what they bring to us in relation to the things we're most concerned about. So, I mean, recently, Blueprint announced the opening of this skateboard park there on the south side of town. Nice looking facility. If you're into skateboarding, that's great. And that all makes sense, I suppose. At the same time, I mean, how many of us were sitting around for the last 2 or 3 years asking, by God, when are we going to have our own skateboard park? Forgive me if I'm missing this, because it's certainly, there's a lot that gets by me, you know that. I just don't remember there being a public outcry for such things. But, okay. And, I mean, if Doak Campbell needs, you know, improvements, well, God bless him. Here again, we have to ask the question, among all of those who are bidding for our vote and our attention, I mean, what is the greater good? And what do you consider the greater good? By the way, is that a good that is isolated to a few, or is it a broader spectrum of people, and for what length of time? That's the question we're asking today. You stay with us. We've got more coming up right after.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Damon Victor is running for office. He is a candidate for District 3, Leon County Commission, and we are looking forward to learning more about this man and his vision for District 3 in Leon County and beyond. So let's welcome Damon Victor. How are you, sir?
Doing great. Thanks, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Good to have you here. According to his website, he was just finding his footing as a young man in Tallahassee, having spent, I guess you were born and reared in Alaska for a period of time. Tell us about your personal background.
That's right. I was born in Alaska, and my family were in the fur business, going back generations to Sweden. And when my parents got divorced, I was with my dad for a while up in Alaska and rejoined my family down here in Florida when I was about 15. And then the whole family moved up to Tallahassee about 1987.
Wow.
So that's how long I've been here. It's about 35 years now.
Right. And in that time, you established a business dealing in prosthetics and...
That's right. That's right. A couple steps down the road, I eventually was able to very proudly open up my own business, having learned the whole trade and get my certification through an apprenticeship.
Right.
And that was a 2-year apprenticeship out in Havana, Florida.
Ah, one of the interesting points here, you said, I fought for the rights of orthotics technicians to self-educate.
Yes, sir.
What does that mean?
Well, that was really important for us because at that time you had to get a certain number of hours of technical experience under a certified clinical practitioner. But what we did was to lobby successfully that if you sat for 3 years and worked for 3 years under a registered technician in good standing, that then you could sit for the exam and become certified in your discipline of prosthetics or orthotics.
So in that way, it was just less burdensome for the aspiring technician.
Right, and right. It allowed you to get your hours while you were working under a technician instead of having to have the clinician there or work in a clinical facility.
See. So they weren't, they weren't sequential, rather they were just overlapped.
Right, well, there's a lot of facilities where you just do technical work, and they ship out and basically are a resource for clinics. So at that point, you wouldn't have an opportunity to work underneath the clinician, which we didn't think was fair. So I was the first person to be registered under that pathway, and I was super proud of that. At that point, you had to do a examination in front of an examiner and build devices to certain specs right in front of them.
Huh. What got you in the direction of that particular business?
Well, I'd come to Tallahassee, was going to Tallahassee Community College for engineering, and with the plans of entering into the military. I met a group of veterans who were disabled at a party on Pepper Drive. And, you know, being a college student at a party, I was, you know, having a good time and was gravitated toward this group of men. And they got into a conversation with me. And eventually I was proud about what I was going to be doing and going into the Navy and or possibly. And they suggested that I get into a pathway of medical and community service and suggested that I go into prosthetics and orthotics.
Wow.
And right then, you know, it just clicked. And I think that's something that I'll never forget because it set me on a pathway as to where I am now, which is about, you know, building cool things that help people. And, you know, in the long run, it's about helping them have a positive future and changing that future for, you know, and helping them to regain mobility.
Sorry to interrupt.
Sure.
To say in your personal growth would have been the person most contributive to your need or interest in helping other people. I mean, there clearly is a thread here. You did so among your own colleagues.
Yeah.
And you wanted to get into this business with that in mind to help other people. Where did that come from?
Well, you know, when I got to Tallahassee, there was some touch and go years. There was some adrift.
Always.
You know, and that's something that I really attribute to Tallahassee and to the music scene and to my friends and my family that moved here with me, in that this community, you know, held me accountable and helped me to establish values. My father wasn't around, and my mom had a new family of her own. And so being a part of this community and playing music and, you know, having a band of friends and an extended group of friends.
What was the name of the band?
Plug Uglies was probably the one you might know me from. That was a while back. We were doing punk rock stuff, and it was alternative, you know, music for the most part.
Okay.
And so it was during that time, actually, when things were a little rough, that I ended up at the Hare Krishna house, and I was, you know, looking for just some help and stability there. And so I learned a lot from them about what comes around goes around, and how you integrate in this world, and how your actual physical behavior and what you do has consequences.
Yes.
And that is important to think about other people's well-being.
It's funny that that's something we've somehow forgotten collectively.
So I'm very grateful that ended up guiding me in that
so,
way.
So would you say that it sounds like that's a collective rather than any one individual?
Sure, sure.
Most contributive, huh?
But I do appreciate Tony Wickman, who was the fabricator who was gave me the shot back then.
He did.
Because at the time I had a blue mohawk.
Okay.
And he gave me a shot, and I appreciate that.
I would love to see that. Do we have any photos of him in that way? We should really make that part of your campaign. I don't recall a time when a local level of conversation, we'll say, when local races were so clearly demarked that there was a kind of clarity about one alternative versus the other. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've been independent my whole life, not a party guy, Democrat or Republican. And so I look at how we've been polarized on a national level and that there's this deep schism that has been manufactured in order to keep national politics at a fervor and keep people going to the polls. So there's a lot of these party line, party loyalty, and what it ends up doing is kind of occupying our minds as to what we should be disagreeing about, and instead of focusing on all the things that we have in common, which is one of the great things about this type of office. Being a county commissioner is really focusing on municipal infrastructure. Things that Democrats, Republicans, and independents that we all literally touch and use. When we're talking about picking up garbage, and we're talking about potholes and fixing our roads and making sure that children have sidewalks, and that the infrastructure that we're building is actually something that we all can access and that we can all utilize. I think that's really important. And what's a great thing about this race is that when I talk to people, and I'm independent, and they may be Republican, they may be Democrat, and they may be pro-growth, and that they may want something to be slowed down or have a little more balance. I hate when they call people anti-growth just because you want to discuss it. But I think it's great because we can all sort of come together and agree on these types of county level issues. And so that's what I hope to, and I have been able to remind people of and keep us from you know, letting that schism get wider. And so I'm really more of trying to weave this back together rather than separate us even further.
He's a candidate for Leon County District 3 Commission office. Damon Victor is our guest. Glad to have him with us. You stay with me. We'll be back right after this.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453. I will try not to sing out of key. Yeah.
Oh, baby, how do I? We're back. We're talking with Damon Victor. He's running for Leon County Commissioner, District 3. I think it's fair to say almost full lifetime resident of, right? I mean,
yeah.
With the exception of Alaska and other parts of Florida, but for the majority of your years. And I think you said you've been living in the district that you are seeking office for 23 years in District 3.
Yeah, that's right. No, say I'm born in Alaska, but I'm from Tallahassee.
Okay.
And my wife and I, we bought our first house in Parkside Park Terrace neighborhood, and we're still there today, like a lot of the residents out there.
Why? Why have you chosen to live there all these years, I guess?
Well, I guess because we've always been involved in the Neighborhood Association out there. We felt that, when we moved in, we moved out of a student area that was closer to the stadium.
Right.
And we ended up there because the neighborhood had older homes. Mm. It was an existing neighborhood.
And it's Seoul.
Yeah. And we, our house was built in the 50s. Mm. And we could just see that that was a, a well, taken care of neighborhood. And But once we got there, we saw that people had bought their homes and worked their careers and raised their children there and then retired there. And now some of them, sadly, are passing away, and we're getting a new generation coming in. And, that was an affordable house for us then, and it's been an asset for us now. And when I think about everything going on with the housing market now, that's something that I'm fighting for, is to make sure there's opportunities for people to get into the ability to have home ownership.
That's a great question, I suppose, or point. What can a county commissioner do effectively to encourage affordable housing in some fashion?
That is a great question. It starts with a good one. How might we, and that's how this whole campaign got going, was, how might we better serve our community? This protesting, being activists, showing up and providing public comment, it's not working. So what are we going to do? And we had a group of people who said, we got to get new commissioners in there. And I just happened to be in a position where I was lucky enough and have been fortunate enough that I could be the change. And so what we've been constantly focused on is, what can I do once I become commissioner? Because I don't want to be talking about things that I can't do. Although we can have great conversations about that, let's focus on what can happen. So county commissioner is responsible for, with his colleagues, important land use decisions.
Okay.
Where, for example, I think one of the worst land use decisions we've made in the history of this county was just recently made by the incumbent that I'm challenging, and he agreed with it all the way along the way, and that was to bring Wilani Development to the front of the line ahead of North Monroe and Tharp Street and South Monroe. Blueprint had those scheduled to run, scheduled to start, and in the last couple of years, Wilani got cut to the front of the line. And I didn't think that was right, because Wilani is twice the size of Killarn, out of town, in the Northeast. It's owned by one property owner, and the majority of the properties are going to be built by a single construction company. Now, they have a requirement of affordable housing, but it's very low. Just recently, at an affordable housing meeting, which I go to all the same meetings that my opponent is, I learned that they just upped the requirement to 10% requirement of a new development to be affordable housing. And I think that, you know, we should bump that up to 25%, at least until we get through this crisis. If we're just letting people build, well, it's like this, if you're in a hole, stop digging, right?
Yeah.
So why are we continuing to build unaffordable housing? And that's what's happening with Polani, and that's what's happening around College Town and other areas. So as a county commissioner, you can bring up, you can elevate ideas to the table. Like, one of the ones that we don't really look at is how much parking we have. When we talk about urban infill and building up or on top of our existing infrastructure, our utilities and services, we have so much consideration for parking because of the nature of our car culture. But if we could actually get the will to look at these parking spaces, each two parking spaces can become a studio apartment at very least, just on the ground. So that's just one thing that we could look at. There's inclusionary zoning, which is where we take a house, like say in my neighborhood, where we're on a half an acre almost, or quarter acre, excuse me. There's the ability to put two smaller units on there. They're called accessory dwelling units or alternative dwelling units. And that way they're a smaller footprint, they're on existing utilities, and they are more affordable. Now, if your neighborhood is amenable to that, but that requires some adjustment, and that's what the county commissioners do. So those are just a couple examples of what the county commissioners can do. And there's more, but that's just a couple of the good ones.
One of the things that you have pointed to, and you mentioned it earlier, in the in District 3 infrastructure, right? Roads and sidewalks and such. And for you, that's a question of public safety, especially safety of children?
I think it's a question of equality. And really looking at these social inequities that we see, and we wonder why geographically certain areas are quote-unquote developed or appear to have activity going on. And it's a chicken or the egg thing. You know, we need, is it the infrastructure that then provides this environment for businesses to thrive and locate? Or do we build infrastructure for existing businesses? You know, I think that that has to be done hand in hand. We have to understand that if we can improve the sidewalks for the children and families on Tharp Street, that we can take some economic stresses off their plate, so maybe they don't have to own a car anymore. Now that they can safely get to where they need to go, you know, for example, on Tharp Street, there's been pedestrian deaths that are just unacceptable over the past few years. You shouldn't have to risk your life to go to the grocery store or to get to school or public transportation. I mean, San Luis Park is right there, but if you don't have a car, you're somewhat landlocked there at Tharp Street. So the point is that if we build this infrastructure, we can actually have an economic uplift and a social uplift so that these you have this livable infrastructure for everyone and that they can begin to you know, have greater mobility and improve access to things like healthcare, clinics, groceries, what they're calling low-income, low-access. That in our area is true on a number of different issues. Grocery stores, for sure. There's Walmart. There's Fresh for Less. And then there's Publix on Ocala. There's a Dollar General, Family Dollar on Tharp Street. But in order for you to get there, that you're going to require a car. So these are the type of you know, projects that we'd like to see. Of course, you know, that's private investment, but out west a little bit, when we start to head out Hartsfield Road or Tharp Street, you know, that's where if we could see some investment in the infrastructure, and we could also see grocery stores coming in. And I'm talking about like on a community scale. You know, when I grew up in Alaska in Girdwood, it was a tiny little town. We had a mercantile. It's called the Crow Creek Mercantile. And it had a laundromat. It was near the post office. So you have that infrastructure there, and it really caused a community to get together and to come there.
Right.
And if we can do that on a few different spots, not only in District 3, but District 2 and District 1, you know, Frenchtown has been wanting and been asking for, and there have been plans for grocery stores. And it just hasn't gotten there yet. But it's those are the type of things that I'd like to see, you know, more of a of a human scale, community scale, neighborhood scale, not necessarily bringing in another Walmart.
Talking with Damon Victor, candidate for Leon County District 3 Commissioner, we are going to continue this conversation, so stay with me.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out, her blood sugar had dropped dramatically. But he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
We're back. We're talking with Damon Victor. He's running for office, God help him. We're not sure why exactly, except that thus far we've discovered he has this lifelong interest in helping other people, and it's played out for him professionally and personally. Longtime resident in District 3, 23 years he's been in the same house. And Damon, you've been saying with us in this portion of the show the things that you hope to bring to the commission and to the to your district and to Leon County in the way of public safety and affordable housing and maybe even concern about campaign finance ethics and that kind of thing. But I have to be honest, oftentimes I wonder whether any one commissioner or if Leon County commissioners really make a difference, if they can make a difference.
I think they can. I think they can. And one of the exciting things about running for office and how this has played out is the community support for this campaign. This is a 100% grassroots campaign. People I've known and come to love and support me for past 35 years have, you know, rallied around this campaign. And the one thing they want me to do is to not lose my idealism. They want me to stay true to my values. And that's been incredibly encouraging. And it's something that it's baked into the campaign. And now I'm taking that life of service and really just scaling it up and helping more people. And what makes this new is that I'm not a part of that political machine, this unseen hand that seems to pick and choose who gets to become your commissioner. This is a chance for the people to choose their own commissioner.
Right.
I'm a product of District 3. I'm a product of this town. And I want to use that influence so that, you know, whether you're somebody who is down at City Hall making public comment, got your protest signs, you know, or you're somebody who you just don't really have the time. Your life concerns take up your time. Or you just don't really, you know, have the ability to get down to City Hall or make your voice heard. You need somebody you can count on. And that's what I want to be for the people of District 3 and for Leon County, is that they can understand that this is an opportunity for them to get a real representative in, and that this is something new. We haven't elected anybody like this in a long time. I don't know if we ever have. And then this is an opportunity for them to go out and vote on August 23rd and vote in this primary. Whether you're an independent, whether you're a Republican, whether you're a Democrat, you can vote for me because of what we talked about before, that I'm focused on municipal issues and infrastructure that we all use. So that's where, you know, this is something where people can get excited about it and say, this is something different. Mm-hmm. This is something better. And you can either do what you've been doing, get what you've been getting, or you can make a change. You can literally change and go vote and vote for something different and vote for something better. And we can hope for some positive, equitable outcomes for us all. And that's what I want to do. And I'm just happy to be here doing it.
I mean, I'm looking at our city commissioners who have been pretty clear about their criticisms of status quo. And yet the status quo has prevailed, at least to date. Yeah. So I salute you for your ambition. And of course, it begs the question, what is it that pissed you off enough that you decided to run for office? You've been living there for 23 years, and now you've decided you're going to make a difference. And then, God bless you, but I don't know how you're going to do it.
Well, you know, and it's a great, you know, observation. And I'm sure a lot of people, you know, ask the same thing. So it's great, you know, to have the ability to talk about this. You know, where I've been able to make an effect change is in non-governmental organizations. And I apply my vocation, and we, you know, have projects where we provide leg braces, artificial limbs to people who don't have access to them. We've worked on international projects, six different countries that I've been a part of over the past 10 years, organizing over language barriers, different health administrations. Well, all of that knowledge coming back home and working with different people from all, you know, spectrums, across the political spectrum, when we're on a project together, you know, working with the migrant farm workers' children's, you know, or children, you don't really even, it doesn't even come up whether the person helping you on your left or right is Republican or Democrat. So what I like to think about is that we can focus on, you know, working together, but in these collaborative processes that I've learned in my scientific work with College of Medicine, building orthotics and prosthetics for clinical research, that, you know, we have these processes where we make sure we're always focusing on empathy first, and that we're working with empathizing with people and what they really need. And then we work on our ideation, you know, and then we build what was needed. It seems like what's going on around, you know, in our county, we have these big projects that are basically start being built, and then we have to figure out, you know, the right way to pay for them. And then in the end,
right,
who is it really helping? Whose needs is it? Is it really helping everybody?
I guess, or is it helping us? My question is, you referred to this earlier with the incumbent, Rick Miner, and how he was able to vote in favor of moving the Wilani project to the top of the list. Well, that didn't happen except that he was in the majority of commissioners that voted that way, correct?
Right.
So you come along and say, well, I disagree with that. But doesn't that imply that somehow you now occupy that majority position? Don't we have to think that other commissioners have to be in line with you for that to change? And so if we look around the room, once again, I feel like you're the one guy at the table who says that we have a better way of doing this. But you're competing with four other districts that all think their needs are as important or maybe more important than those of District 3.
That's right. That's right.
And so how do you work that process, I guess?
Well, it's a challenge, but ultimately, you know, being respectful on a larger level. But, you know, I've had experience in this work that I've been doing over the past 10 years, this philanthropic work and working internationally. You end up with a lot of personalities, and a lot of them are leaders. They're leaders.
But this isn't personality. This is money.
Sure.
And I mean, not to dissuade you, because I would say go for it, as I have to a lot of people who, like you, have stepped up and said, we can do better than this. But Doak Campbell Stadium still got their $20 million, regardless.
And I do understand what you're saying about, you know, politics being a zero-sum game. You know, mm-hmm. I build leg braces, I help people walk. Well, generally, everybody's on that side. There's not all people trying to stop me from doing that. Mm-hmm. But in this case, it's going to take a little bit of carrot, a little bit of stick, but a lot of, you know, focusing on who's paying the costs and who's getting the benefits. Mm-hmm. You know, if you can get that out, and also there's the other part about this, that if you make the right type of motion, and you can get an item that's going to come back on any of these boards and get the public aware of it. And once you get the public weighing in, with their op-eds and their, you know, then all of a sudden these commissioners can start to wake up, get out of their silos and say, wow, what I thought was something that was desirable maybe is not. And, you know, maybe Mr. Victor has brought something up that obviously the public is concerned about. So I'm not sure how that's going to play out exactly, but I'm going to bring everything that I've learned in my life to bear and in order to be persuasive and but to really focus on people's well-being and to not forget that the communities that are here, the ones that have been paying taxes for all these years, who aren't getting the infrastructure, as opposed to the Spolani construction where they're building underground power lines, bikes, bike paths, sidewalks, everything. They're going to be safe during a hurricane out there. But those people haven't even moved here yet. So I'm focused on the people that are here now and trying to bring a better balance back to the to our growth and development. And I think that we can help some other commissioners see that. You know, their motivations are their own, but that's how I plan to tackle it and, you know, take it very seriously and to do my homework, consult with a cabinet of consultants and professionals in their respective fields, make sure that I'm looking outside of the staff recommendations that come to the commissioners so that I'm doing, as I said, my own research and carefully weighing these costs and who's getting the benefits.
He is candidate for Leon County Commission District 3, Damon Victor, our guest, and we are pleased to have had you with us. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you, Brian.
Folks, that's what I have for you here at the moment. Stay with me as we continue after the top of the hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Welcome back to the second hour, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, yours truly bringing you great conversations over the last 10 and a half years, roughly. Let's see, February, March, April, May, June. Yeah, so don't ask me. All I do is I show up and I talk into this microphone and everybody else figures it out for me. Just count backwards from 10. So we started in 2011. There we go. And we are now in our 11th season. Is that right, Carl? Am I doing my... I've lost all capability of doing any arithmetic here. Not that that was ever my strong suit. Well, you can figure it out. In any case, we're glad that you're a part of it today as we continue our conversations with people like Kristen Dozier, who's going to be with us here shortly. Having served three terms of office, County Commissioner for District 5, and by all accounts, has done a good job in that capacity. People in District 5 will talk about, you know, good things, and people across the county have talked about her stalwart contributions, her commitments to Tallahassee growth and proper management, and she's a big, big champion of proper process, doing things the right way so that as best we can, all parties concerned are represented at the table, whatever that table involves, whatever kind of decision is being made. And so she was one of those that stepped up and said, wait a minute, you know, I love FSU and I love, you know, Florida State football and all that good stuff. Who doesn't? Unless, you're, of course, you're a Gator. And then we make exceptions for you. But given that, $20 million plus interest. So it comes out around $27 million that blueprint money, your money, tax money, will be used to help enhance Doak Campbell Stadium. I mean, and those who have been critics of this decision have argued, well, it's not that they oppose FSU or Florida State football. It's the question of distribution. It's the question of allocating resources in a manner that is better serving those who otherwise go completely unserved. So if you're a small business owner in Leon County, no matter what part of the county you're in, wouldn't it be great if the county could offer you low-interest financing? Or how about a grant program that could be the part of you growing your business, adding employees or equipment or expanding in some fashion. I mean, that'd be a good idea. I mean, if you're going to spend our money doing anything, then why wouldn't you want to spend it on the people who that got you the money? Right. And it's not as though those projects and Blueprint has been hard at work these last several months with their PR campaign trying to remind us all just how wonderful Blueprint is and all the good things they've brought to life, you know. Yeah. But at the same time, it leaves vacant the question of what else could have been done. Where else can we improve things for more people? And so we go back to this business of the best possible outcome for the greatest number of people over the greatest period of time. Now, clearly, the question is what you and I consider good, what we consider the best, what is most needful, what do people need most that we can collectively contribute to? I mean, it may come back to just pure economics. It may be strictly a matter of investing in programs and in people and in, I guess, opportunities for investment. You know, why wouldn't you want to make certain parts of town more attractive? You know, if you've heard of opportunity zone financing, well, there's an idea. You're familiar with that, right? So during the Trump administration, they launched this opportunity zone idea, which basically gave people who had the means to invest large sums of money, I'm talking millions here, and receive for their investment incentives, tax breaks that were graduated, meaning that if you kept your money in for a period of time, the longer you kept your money in the program, the more the benefit. I mean, you can detail that if you want to go look online. It's pretty clear and it's pretty simple. Well, what's wrong with that idea on a local level? What about offering people of means the opportunity to invest in a particular part of our community? And I don't care whether it's north, south, east, or west. But if you can demonstrate the benefit to the community at large, or even that particular neighborhood or neighborhoods, and then solicit county, city for funding, and say, look, we've got an opportunity here that could create a lot of jobs at various levels, at various skill levels. Right. You know, instead of trying to bribe a grocery store chain to set up shop, why don't we create our own group of grocery stores that are strategically located in places that are already known to be food deserts? Yeah. The logic is pretty simple. And what could really work is if all of the people involved had an equity position in the company. It's an idea that I've been toying with for some time, and I haven't really materialized in the form of a business plan or anything, but I keep thinking about it, and maybe you have too. In any case, we're going to talk with Christian Dozier here at length in the last portion of this here fine radio show. She'll be with us here in just a minute. Meanwhile, some news from Frenchtown, the Frenchtown Food Hub, with their retail expansion for food access. Well, they've received additional funding by way of America's Healthy Food Financing Initiative, which basically is a small grant program. And it's targeted to organizations like Frenchtown Farmers Market, or FNIA, Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. Funding for these grants programs is provided by Department of Agriculture, U.S., authorized by the 2014 Farm Bill. Turns out that the Frenchtown community, Frenchtown Food Hub, was among 134 projects awarded a total of $22.6 million. Now that's across the 134. Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association Executive Director Jim Bellamy recognized the significance of this funding by saying, "We are very excited to address food security through the expansion of our retail services in the Tallahassee area." Good news for Frenchtown and for Tallahassee. You stay with me.
In 1945, Jack Whidden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now over 75 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Whidden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Whidden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Whidden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Whidden wanted, and it's been the Whidden way of doing business for over 75 years. Whidden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Whidden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or whiddenglass.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
Leon County Commissioner Kristen Dozier is running for mayor, and we're delighted to have her here to help this humble radio host understand why. I mean, one would think, at least I think, if you've been in any kind of office for any length of time, I mean, honestly, it goes beyond my ability to comprehend this, but why would you want to continue the aggravation? So, to begin with, I suppose you'd have to draw some sort of map, a kind of categorization. And then you have people who genuinely just, they care. And the, at least by all of my accounts, they really do want what is best for other people, particularly to the extent that they can bring that good to bear for a given community. That's where I'm going with this, and I think Kristen Dozier's in that camp. And I draw that conclusion because of the number of years that she's been in this community, the professional work that she's done prior to running for office, and because of her record. I mean, she's been able to go online with all kinds of efforts that, from my observation, have contributed to the public welfare in greater number across categories, right? So it's not given to any one station or class of people. It's really a sort of how can we do the best for the most? Now, we're going to get into it as we welcome to the show a friend of this show and a friend of this town, Kristen Dozier. How are you, Commissioner?
I'm very well, Brian.
It's
thank you very much.
It's good to see you again after all these
months,
weeks.
Yes.
You were here the week that you announced your intentions to run for mayor. And we left you alone after that because, you know, it's been kind of that storm since that announcement. And I mean, honestly, I do try to pay attention. I'm just not very bright, and so it's hard for me to stay up with all of the details. Although I do know that some people really, really like you, and some people who are your constituents, people you represent in county district 5,
mm-hmm.
You know, thumbs up on Kristen, but then others like are calling you a communist. Well, okay, as if that's the worst thing you could be, but I mean,
Also not true. So, you know, well, I mean, we're just not gonna, to debate that, but
not to debate the question, but I mean, you, from what we know thus far, you're not in jail. You haven't been charged with corrupted thinking and behavior like some of your other colleagues. Mayor Gillum, the most recent addition to that unenviable list.
Yeah, let's raise that bar. Let's not say at least you're not. that should be...
You know me, I kind of work on the lowest level here, because honestly speaking, and I speak on behalf of the people that I'm in touch with week in and week out, who have lived in this town all of their lives. Many of them are business owners. Mm-hmm. One of whom that I'm thinking of, her father was a county commissioner for 20 years back in the 60s. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of person who says, I don't know why I should care anymore, if ever, unless it shows up on my desk, right, unless it's at my doorstep. Why should they care? I guess that's the question. At this point in our history as a community, why should people care about what's going on downtown?
So leaving the basic civics aside, that I believe, you know, voting is essential. We do participate in our government. And if we leave that to others, it's going to go a different direction. Leaving all of that aside, why should people care specifically what happens downtown in city and county government? Because we are the closest to what people experience, what they need every single day. When you flip on your lights in the morning, that's city utilities more than likely. Might be Talquin, might be someone else, but most people are on city utilities. Water, gas, sewer, same thing. Your roads, it's going to be city, county, or state. Mm. I mean,
Public safety.
And I was about to get there. The core of, I mean, like the most specific thing that we have to do before anything else is public safety. So on the city side, you've got TPD, you've got fire, county, you've got EMS, but you also have the emergency management. Mm. We have to run that system. I mean, that is the core function of the county government. Mm. So you may not want to think about it, but you want it to work when you need it to work.
Yeah, yeah.
And that starts every day when you get up and continues
so
through time you go to bed.
And for all of us, then, there are those very pragmatic sort of questions at hand. Right?
Yes. But may I say also something?
Go for it.
Business owner in town, working hard, trying to grow your business, you shouldn't have to pay attention every single day to what we're doing. Oh. You should be able to trust things are going pretty well. They got a handle on this. You might agree with some decisions, not agree with others. You might get engaged on one because it's impacting your neighborhood or something like that, or an organization you really like.
Yeah.
But by and large, I think people should be able to trust that things are moving in generally the right direction with some disagreements.
Right.
What we've experienced in the last few years, and particularly after, and it wasn't just the Gillum news last week, but it was also the court case about Tallahassee Housing Authority and the court case that Commissioner Matlow's brought against Blueprint. Those three things in 1 week hit the paper, and I heard people say, I'm just tired of it.
Mm.
What, can't we get this right? Can't we figure out, you know, our problems without going to court?
Mm-hmm.
And then the indictments are something more extreme.
Mm-hmm.
When you get to that place where you're so busy building your business, taking care of your family, going to school, whatever, there's fatigue. And
yes,
I understand why people kind of turn away and say it's never going to change. Without people voting, it's not going to change.
It's not going to
change. And that's where that I come back to the first part.
And the vote in this case, mm-hmm, and maybe more so than it ever, and any other time in my recollection, the differences are much sharper, much clearer for those who say, yeah, it's business as usual. No, I'm not hearing that. When commissioners vote, what was it, a 7-5,
mm-hmm,
in favor of a project that takes $20 million plus interest estimated at about $27 million. Well, I mean, it'd be fair analysis to step back and go, well, what if we were to have taken $27 million, we'll say, or $20 million, and invest that in ways that build local neighborhoods economically? Yeah. And I mean creating opportunity zones. What about local grocery stores? And what about, I mean, infrastructure is another part of that whole public safety issue that you raised.
Sure.
But I'm just talking about, why do we only have one incubator here?
But you're about to get more. Let's get to that in a second.
Yeah, we will. Folks, we've got Christian Dozier here. She's agreed to stay with me regardless of how ridiculous I may be for the rest of the hour. You stay right where you are. We'll be back.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom. Conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Talking with Christian Dozier. She is running for mayor of Tallahassee, having served the county for three terms of office. I've lost count.
I'm in my third.
No wonder you're so cranky.
Stop.
I mean, I'd be in there for like a month. Where does that come from? I mean, you have this background in working in business, right? Mad Dog Construction and so forth. Tell us a little bit about that background.
So, as always, you wrap a lot of things in the question. So I'll say that there are parts of public policy. I love public policy. I love Tallahassee and Leon County. I know we can do so much better, and I love working with people. So what keeps me going despite the challenges? That's the simple answer.
Simple
we
love.
We can unpack
at your
that.
Core.
So, I was one of the unusual ones. When I graduated high school, I decided not to leave town. I went to TCC, and first year I had a job as a nanny, but after that I started working for Mad Dog, my father and his wife's company. And so I would go to TCC real early in the morning, and I would leave and go straight to the office. And I ended up working for them on and off. I left for a little while, came back for 11 years. At 26, I was a superintendent for a $4.5 million project. So I played a lot of different roles in the company, the last one being focused on sustainable construction between 06 and 2010 when I was elected. And at that point, I left Mad Dog. The county has been my only job for the last 12 years.
Wow.
So what did I learn from that?
Yeah.
One of the things is exactly why people asked me to run for office in the first place in 08, 09, which was when I focused on sustainable construction, and Mad Dog has had this history since the 70s, the environmental quality of life issues are not diametrically opposed to development and growth. We can do both. We can protect our quality of life and environment if we have smart and responsible growth. And there's some tension there, but I think we can do that. And what we were hearing at that time was it was either or. And that just kind of locked us up. But the other thing that I really have drawn from Mad Dog is that communication is paramount, that being able to talk with people, community service is paramount. I mean, like sharing your values, your company values, being able to really be honest and transparent with what your business approach is. A lot of times people say with contractors, you don't know where the numbers are coming from. they always had a really upfront approach of these are the facts, here we are. And they were open to, still are, incredible number of community service projects. They were always giving back. Mm-hmm. But the last thing, and this one I haven't talked about as much, but some of the employees we had, we would have guys from, mostly men, from Labor Finders or Action Labor or somebody like that, a lot of them with records. And some of these folks over the years would become full-time employees because we valued their skills so much. And so being able to see the whole person and not just the background was really important. So I just packed a lot into that, but
Well, that's a big question.
My business experience influences me constantly. And it also leads me to understand land use permitting development issues, which is one of the main things the city and county does.
Right. Well, and you're still crunching big numbers.
Yeah.
You know, which does help.
So if I may, and we were talking about this a little before we started the show, and you referenced it a little while ago, the funding for Doak Campbell Stadium. I mean, throughout the process, and this wasn't everyone's line, but for me, I always said this isn't about FSU. It's not about football. I'm an alum. I love it. I go to games. I watch games. It is about what our community needs and the promise we made for the sales tax, for that 12% of our sales tax blueprint funding when we set it aside for economic development. And that was doing something we have never done before in this community and diversifying. So how does that money benefit the local business owner we were talking about earlier?
Right.
If it is going into a wide number of different programs and projects, so you've got new jobs at Danfoss, you've got new jobs, yes, Amazon's coming on. We've got a revolving loan fund. We've helped a number of women and minority-owned businesses in the last few years. Each one of those businesses, this is helping them grow, establish new jobs, and those people are now going to your restaurant going to your store and buying something. It's putting more money back into the economy. With funding the stadium, the reason why they said we only got 34 permanent jobs, that was then FSU department's analysis. If FSU did the whole project, $130 million, it's because it's only going into the service industry that is activated on those football weekends.
So, all of the servers,
the
bars, the restaurants, and such.
Huge economic impact, $80 million for a typical season, lots of good jobs, but we already have it. This money was supposed to diversify so it could help create new jobs, new opportunities, and feed more money, compounding that into the economy.
I may be whacked here in my thinking, but it seems to me if you're helping a guy start a business over there on the southwest side of town, who knows, maybe he could afford a pair of football tickets and become one of your customers as opposed to sitting on the sidelines, metaphorically as well.
Every single issue we're talking about throughout every different race this time, if we're talking about crime, if we're talking about affordable housing, if we're talking about poverty, everybody comes back to jobs. Everybody. And this was, I mean, the envy of other communities. We chose to invest in ourselves and set aside some money, not just for incentives to attract businesses, but to actually help local businesses, create training programs. And we can still do that. I'm still very much optimistic. But we severely impacted ourselves. Right when we were getting started, we ripped the rug out from under us. Now, John Daly is going to say, oh, you know, this idea that we've busted the budget is ridiculous. We still have money left. Yeah, we got about $3 million for the next 5 years. That's far less. We committed $22 million in the first 2 years of the tax and got over 3,000 jobs. So that's really what we've given up. We've given up the potential to help a lot of people find careers, pay rent, feed their families. And we're going to have to get really creative to fill that gap. The reason why I'm optimistic is because we can get the job done. We can do what we have been planning to do without having that that sales tax money. For example, it's been an 8 to 12 year effort on the board at Innovation Park to establish the first ever high-tech incubator. Mm. We have lost companies from that are growing out of FAMU and FSU forever. They, if they need a lab space to develop their company, they've got to go to Gainesville, Orlando, someplace else. That building is under construction right now. And locally, we put in $2.5 million. FSU has stepped up with substantial contribution. Innovation Park did. But importantly, we brought $12 million home from the federal government. We brought money back into the community for the first time. This is a game changer for us. Yeah. Every community that has an incubator like this, they have spinoff companies. You capture those companies. They get businesses. You recruit other companies. Right. We get more jobs. It didn't take very much money to do that.
Right.
It took vision a long time ago.
Yeah.
We've got the tools. We've got the right people and the energy in our community, but we need someone who is going to take a leadership role at that. And I know John Daly is not the person to lead that next step. He has not done the hard work over the years like I have, and he doesn't build those relationships. We've lost businesses in the last few years because of policies and other issues within the city that I think he could have easily addressed. Someone who's sitting in that office could have easily addressed those issues, and he chose not to.
Talking with Christian Dozier. She's running for mayor, and you are in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Welcome back, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. On this occasion, when we have with us the esteemed Christian Dozier, who has served Leon County faithfully for three terms of office, who recently posted on her Facebook campaign, official campaign Facebook page, how proud she is to have been endorsed by Tallahassee Professional Firefighters Association. She goes on to say that as mayor, she will work hard to protect and uplift our first responders. How does that work? How does a candidate then get that endorsement? Do you solicit that, or do they look at you? Or I don't understand the process, I guess.
Every group is different, quite frankly. For the firefighters, I actually think they have the most robust in, process for candidates seeking endorsement. And this is something I think new in the last few years, but they require each of us to do a ride-along. They used to just do the candidate interview, which that's what the PBA does, and you know, no problem with the PBA or others. That's what most do, is just the interview. But I think the requirement to do a ride-along with the firefighters helps every single candidate understand better what the department does, how they intersect with EMS, with police, with others. It's really important. I think it informs that interview that then comes right before they make their selection process.
And why do you think they chose you?
You know, it has to be acknowledged. There have been challenges between the union and the city manager, and Mayor Daly has been a strong backer of the manager's position and has not taken up several of the issues that the firefighters have brought to him.
Like?
Specifically last year, there was a question about allocated costs, which is, it gets kind of wonky and in the weeds, but basically the city allocates costs for IT, for human resources, others, to some departments like the fire department that kind of self-fund through fire service fees and other things. This is actually an issue that I had dealt with over the years at Blueprint, at CRA, and others, trying to get more transparency in what the city was actually costing or charging us, because they do the same thing. They run HR, they run IT for these other departments. So we'd see an cost increase on the Blueprint budget, and I'd say, well, why are we spending more? What's this money going for?
Right.
it was pretty surprising to me to hear that the firefighters were dealing with the same issue that an internal department. So the union, the chief, others asked for an audit, and there was a big conflict over that. So that's one example. But I think it also speaks to, and I'm very proud of this, I don't think this was an endorsement because they didn't support someone else. I honestly believe it was an endorsement because we have worked together over the years. I understand. I've really put in the time and spent, you know, a good amount of time studying and learning from them. It is different than the county, but we have EMS, we have the fire service fee, and so it is something that we have talked about for a long time.
If you were not going to run for mayor, you had to have asked this question a lot. What would you have chosen to do? If in fact it doesn't go the way you want it to go, where would you go from here?
Well, congratulations, Brian. You're the first person who asked me that on the record. So many people assumed when I made the announcement in November that I wasn't going to seek a fourth term, that I was planning to run for mayor at that time. It's not true. I was being recruited to run. I made the decision just after the first of the year. So I can't speak to the future because I am all in and I believe we will be successful and I will...
In other words, you're going to wait and see what happens.
Right.
Believing for the best and then deal with that later.
Now I am solely focused on the city. I've made that decision. But yes, there was an alternative when I made that decision about the county. And frankly, it builds on a lot of the work I've done locally on economic development, but also regionally. I'm chair of our Appalachia Regional Planning Council, and that board covers 9 counties from Leon, Jefferson, Gadsden over to Jackson, Gulf County, Liberty. And we have seen more collaboration among those counties in the last few years, and particularly since Hurricane Michael, than ever before. A lot of areas of the country, they have regional economic development organizations. So they help support the entire region and any other economic development that they're doing. And all 8 of our neighboring counties that are with us are rural counties. So they don't have as much capacity as Leon, Tallahassee.
They're broke.
And it's been really, really hard in the last few years. I think we need a regional economic development organization, not to displace what each individual county or city wants to do or community, but to help support everyone because we could be stronger together. We get less funding than any place in the state. And the more we stand together celebrating what's unique in every different community, I think we could be really strong.
Your first term, your first year in office as mayor, do you have a short list?
So I absolutely do have a short list. Probably not surprising to anyone. Some of it are a little more process oriented and maybe not bumper sticker worthy, but I actually think it's really significant for the time we are right now. We need a full audit of the city departments for efficiencies, overlap, look where we can save some money, look where we can improve responsiveness to the community that pays for city government and is served by city government. I've thought for a long time, the city government really has more of a corporate culture, and that's very odd to me for a government that is paid for and serves the people. So I think we should do a lot better. We can do a lot better by looking at improving our systems. Now, one of those specifically, the permitting system. City growth management, phenomenal people. They do a great job. But consistently, people from around the state, other places will say that Tallahassee is the hardest place to get a permit. And particularly when you look at new or innovative ideas like more sustainable products or a lab space or something like that. But if we think about helping businesses grow, if you got local business, you got 10 employees or 5 employees and you're going to hire some and you need to move into a new space, making sure your permit process is as efficient as possible will save you money. And so that is helping our businesses, helping individuals as well. There's a lot we could do with the city. Actually, I'll mention this, which is a perhaps for some, it may be a more minor issue, but the city owns a TV station, WCOT.
Right.
Right? They self-produce a lot of content.
Right.
A lot of it's great. I mean, I like it. But all of that costs money.
Yeah.
The school board and the county air their meetings on other Comcast channels. Huh. I asked this question probably 6-7 years ago, brought it up a couple times. Mm-hmm. I think the city's TV station should accommodate school board and county meetings as well. We should have one source mm-hmm. for your local governments mm-hmm. because we should collaborate more. We have so much overlap. And so instead of, I mean, more people than I can imagine actually do watch the meetings. So why not bring it into one right. place? If it saves us money, it's great. If it increases collaboration and information for the public, that's great too.
Yeah. Well, folks, we've just flat run out of time. Sorry, my fault. Because this woman has so much more to say. We got a few weeks ahead.
It's not just your fault. We can get deep into these conversations, Brian. I love it.
Well, I'll take most of that blame. But I think, in fact, we'll have to get you back in as the weeks progress. Hopefully things won't be so intense that you can't do it. But if it's possible, we'd love to have you come back in.
Anytime. I'd love it.
At your convenience. Folks, Christian Dozier, she is running for mayor. Need to pay attention. There's a whole lot going on, and there's a whole lot at stake. And that is why exactly that we bring you this show every week right here on Moose Magnificat. We're the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment, coming to you from the studios of Moose Magnificat, Tallahassee's radio to the world, playing all local musicians, their original music all the time. It's called The Sound of Tallahassee. Find them online at moosemagnificat.com. Carl Cerny is our executive producer. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee. Come talk to me.